He died. Who did he die for?
Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. Who did he die on the cross for? He died for us. That's right, Addie. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is he? I'm nervous. Oh, let's see. What else did Jesus do? He died. Addie? Yeah. He died on the cross. What else did Jesus do? He what? He went in the sky? Yes. He didn't stay dead then. He came back to life. Yeah. That's right, Izzy. He rose again from the dead. Yeah. And what did the little children sing when Jesus came into the temple? Does anybody else know? Sienna knows? Do you guys know what he sang? Okay. Yeah. What did he sing? Jesus is Lord. That's good. Thank you very much. Enjoy Children's Church. All right. They want to stay in, but, oh, well. That's the second week in a row the kids said, anyhow. Those kids get cuter all the time. Children are a blessing. And one of the things about Palm Sunday is that there's all these songs about children singing when Jesus entered the city. And so I was curious this week and what to find out, what does the Bible say about what the children did on the day of Jesus' triumphal entry? And you know what we find? What the children did? We find nothing. We have no account of what the children did on what we call Palm Sunday. Now, we do have an account of what the children did the next day, because the next day they echoed what they heard their parents doing and their grandparents on the day before. And we're going to look at what happened and what the children said on the day after the triumphal entry in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to see basically two responses to Jesus. We're going to see the response of the religious leaders of that day who wanted to put Jesus off, who wanted to distance themselves from Jesus. And then we're going to see the response of the children who sought to praise Jesus as their Savior. And it really does raise a great question for each of us. Are we like children who give simple praise to Jesus? Or are we like the religious leaders of Jesus' day that want to put him off at a distance? In Matthew 21, we find that children were God's instruments of praise. And Jesus has some good things to say about these children and things that we can learn as well. As God wants us to be humble like children, and he wants each of us to be his instrument of praise. So let's go back to Matthew 21 where Joel was reading for us. We're going to look particularly at verses 14 through 16. Let's stand together, and I'll read through this. This will be our third scripture reading for this morning on this Palm Sunday. And then we'll examine this and apply it to our lives that we might be instruments of praise just like those children. So Matthew 21, 14, it says, "The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself'? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have prepared praise for yourself." Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand what your word is saying here. And God, help each of us, like these children, to be your instruments of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. So we're going to look at three things. First of all is what Matthew said about these children and when the children actually did sing Hosanna. And then we're going to look at the response of the chief priests and the scribes and how they were angered with the children. And then we're going to look at the children and what they said and how Jesus affirmed that children were God's instruments of praise, and wrap it up and see how God wants to use us this Holy Week to be his instruments of praise like these children were. The first thing we find is that the children are recorded singing Hosanna the day after the triumphal entry. In verse 12, we find that Jesus has entered the temple before the children are saying Hosanna in verse 15. In 15, it says, "The chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple." On the day of the triumphal entry, Jesus is marching into the city. Then he goes to Bethany and spends the night. And then the next day, according to Mark's gospel, the next day, he comes into the temple. He knocks over the tables that were used to sell doves, because he's upset with that. And then we have children who are coming and worshiping Jesus. And we'll look at that in a moment. But this actually happened the day after. They're not mentioned in the first 10 verses, the triumphal entry. They're not mentioned in the triumphal entry account that Mike read for us in Luke. They're not mentioned in John or in, what's the other one, Mark? Mark's account of the triumphal entry. But doesn't mean they weren't singing Hosanna on the day of the triumphal entry. They're just not mentioned. They were probably most likely there in the crowds, listening to their parents, indeed. In verse 9, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed on that entry were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The children that are mentioned in verse 15 are basically those kids that haven't gotten to be teenagers yet. They're under 13 years of age. In Israel at that time, one entered adulthood by when they reached 13. But 12-year-olds and under were considered children. And so this account is about those who were under 12 or under. Some of you are 12 or under today. This is an account of those folks. The word children is used of Jesus being a child, and it's translated boy in Luke 2 when he was 12 years of age at the Passover, which is when this story, when Jesus is like 33, he's coming into the city at Passover, the triumphal entry. Anyhow, the point is that Jesus, his first trip to the temple and to Jerusalem was when he was at 12, and it was during the Passover season, which shows us that the people were following the Old Testament that told them to bring their children, bring their families to Jerusalem three times a year. One of those times was at Passover. All that to say this. Children were there at the triumphal entry, praising Jesus as Messiah. So that's true. But what we're going to look at is what happens the next day. And that takes us to verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You know who the blind and the lame were? We're going to find out in a moment. What we see in verse 15 is the first reaction, and that of the religious leaders. Some of us, we want to be religious leaders. Some of us think we know everything. In that day, the people who should have known better were ignorant. They were blind. They were lame. They're not the ones referred to in verse 14, but the ones who were spiritually blind and really were lame were these chief priests and scribes. And their reaction to Jesus was that of anger. They were embittered against him. The chief priests was a group of a family that kind of ran the temple. The high priest was named Caiaphas at this time. And he was in cahoots with the Romans and basically did whatever the Romans asked him to do, whatever they paid him to do. His father-in-law, Annas, was really the influencer among the Jewish leadership. Annas was the one who ran the bizarre exchange of selling the doves, selling the lambs to the people. God had ordered the people to come and to bring sacrifices. And if they didn't have enough money to buy a lamb, they could buy a dove as a sacrifice to God. But Annas, he charged a high inflated cost. And he took all that extra money and put it in his own pockets. Josephus, the historian, mentions that he was greedy. And so when Jesus came into the temple and he saw that greed, he saw how much they were charging the poor people to buy a dove, he was so upset in his righteous anger that he pushed over the tables that the doves were on and actually took a whip and began not chasing the chief priests' workers out of the place in his righteous indignation. He had indignation. The chief priests then were not too happy with Jesus. The other folks that are mentioned here that were indignant are the scribes. Those were the theologians of the day. Those were the ones who studied the Old Testament law. Those were the ones that 33 years before, King Herod had gone to say, where is the Messiah to be born? And they studied the scriptures and said, in Bethlehem. The scribes were the ones that were to know who the Messiah would be and to recognize him, but they didn't. They had it all in their head, but when he was there, they didn't recognize him. And the reason that these scribes and these hypocritical high priests did not recognize Jesus but were angered about him was because of envy. It's interesting, in Mark's gospel, in chapter 15, and verse 10, these religious leaders, who are also the political leaders of the day, they bring Jesus to Pilate after they'd sentenced Jesus to death. They couldn't carry out execution of death, so they had to bring him to the Roman leader, Pilate. And in Mark 15:10, it says, "For Pilate was aware that the chief priests had handed Jesus over because of envy." The chief priests wanted the popularity of the people, but the people were turning to Jesus. They were honoring him as king, and that really got them envious, and Pilate understood that. So one of the reasons they were upset with Jesus, even though he was healing sick people, was because of envy. Another thing that I've already mentioned is that they were blind. They didn't understand. In Matthew 11:25. These are Jesus' words about the religious leaders. Matthew 11:25. Nevertheless, I say to you, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. There were things about Jesus that the leaders of his day just they didn't get. But the children got. They understood that Jesus was the Son of God, the King of Israel. And another reason that these leaders were angered was because they feared for their lives and their jobs. They were put in these positions to lead the people of Israel basically under one condition. You got to keep peace. There's not to be any rebellion, any riots, or we Romans will come in and just knock out you leaders and we'll put new leaders in. We will take care of the rabble-rousers. And they were afraid for their lives because all these people were claiming that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were afraid that Jesus would lead them into rebellion against Rome and push off Rome, and the Romans would be upset and come in and stop this rebellion, and Caiaphas and Annas and all these important dignitaries would lose their positions. In other words, these chief priests and scribes were more concerned about their popularity, their pocketbooks, their pensions, than they were about what God was doing in their midst. And we need to think in this Holy Week, you know, what are we interested in? Is it what God is doing? Is it in who Jesus really is or in being comfortable? Do we want to keep Jesus at a distance so he doesn't interfere with our plans for the future, with our pocketbook? You know, sometimes we're not as far from these religious leaders as we might think. So they were indeed indignant. They were upset. This week, God may be speaking to your heart and saying, will you let Jesus be your Lord and your Savior? Or will you reject him? I encourage you not to be like these religious leaders, but to be like the children, to humbly accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Now let's look and see what happened with the children, what they said, and why. At the end of verse 15, we see the children who were shouting in the temple. And what were they saying? They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. What was it that made these religious leaders so indignant? It was not that they were shouting, but what they were shouting about Jesus. They were saying, Hosanna. That Hebrew and Aramaic term, Hosanna, is what the parents had been yelling the day before about Jesus. It means deliver us. In the Old Testament, it used many times about God delivering people and people calling on God to deliver them. One example is in 2 Chronicles 20. You're all familiar with that? Probably not. It's a story about Jehoshaphat, and he was not fat. But he was the king, and the enemies around Israel were invading Israel, and it looked pretty bad, bleak for Israel. And so Jehoshaphat prayed and asked God to help Israel and Judah. And in 26, he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so no one can stand against you. And then verse 9, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. And when he said deliver us, he said Hosanna. Hosanna means deliver us. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied that one would come to deliver Israel from its enemies. And when they saw Jesus coming in the city, they sang to him, deliver us from our enemies. Deliver us from the Romans who have taken control of this country. That's what Hosanna means. And why were they saying it? It wasn't simply because they wanted to be delivered from the Romans, but tradition. You see, every Passover, they would sing Psalm 118. And they would do it in an antiphonal way. The people who lived in Jerusalem, they would sing the first phrase of a verse. And then the pilgrims who had coming all from all over the Roman Empire, they would sing the last phrase of a verse. And when Jesus came down the Mount of Olives toward Jerusalem, that's what they were singing, these Psalm 118. And so the people in Jerusalem would sing, this is the day which the Lord has made. And the pilgrims would respond, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then the Jerusalemites would sing, O Lord, Hosanna, do save, we beseech you. And the pilgrims would sing, O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. And then the Jerusalemites would shout out, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the pilgrims would respond, we have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Now, Matthew notes what they were saying because what they were saying, God was answering. This thing that they had been repeating hundreds of years about God delivering them was now ringing true. And they may have been like us, singing these hymns without really thinking about the meanings because they'd sung them for years. But the meaning was they were asking God to deliver them. And as Jesus was coming into the city, their deliverer indeed was coming to save them. Now, the first time that Jesus came to this earth, he came to save not only the Jews, but every one of us from three things. He came into Jerusalem that week to save us from the guilt of sin. To save us from the guilt of sin. He came into that week into Jerusalem to save us from the power of sin over us. And that week he came into Jerusalem to save every one of us from the penalty of sin, a lake of fire. And when Jesus, on that Friday, was put on the cross, like Addie said about five times, when he did die on the cross, that paid for the guilt of our sin. It freed us from the power of sin, and it delivered us from the penalty of sin. He took care of it. All we have to do is accept His payment by faith. He came to deliver people from sin that first time. Now, when He comes a second time, He's going to come and deliver the Jews from the enemies surrounding them and give them physical peace. But the first time, spiritual peace. So when they sang Hosanna, God was responding. He was delivering them, and Jesus was the deliverer. The other thing that the people sang when Jesus came in is they called Him the Son of David. If you look here in verse 15, what the children were singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, where did they pick that up from? Their parents? The day before, verse 9, the crowds going ahead and those behind were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Do you remember? You notice that kids repeat what their parents say? Everything that was said up here by these little kids, they were repeating what their parents had said. And I think that's why the children were in that next day when they saw the lame being healed and the blind seeing, they were singing what they had learned the day before. They were echoing their parents' word, Hosanna, to the Son of David. And those 12-year-olds knew that the Son of David was a title for the one who was going to come and deliver the people, their Messiah. God had promised David that one of his sons would reign on the throne in Jerusalem, providing peace to the Jewish people forever. That hadn't happened yet, a permanent peace for Israel. Isaiah talks about the one coming who will be, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the Messiah, the Son of David. The people knew that Messiah was coming. What's, I think, quite eye-opening is just a page forward in Matthew 22, where Jesus is talking to the religious leaders there called the Pharisees. And in 22:42, Jesus says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And the word Christ here is Messiah. Son of David is the Messiah. So he's asking, whose son is the Messiah? Or who's the Messiah's father? And the leaders knew the answer. They said to him, the son of David. See, one of the reasons the Pharisees, the scribes, and the chief priests were upset is because these children were saying Jesus is the Son of David. Therefore, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And oh, that scared them to death. They said, we got to get rid of this Jesus or Pilate will get rid of us. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the coming king, that he is Messiah, that he is Lord, the son of David? In chapter 20, backing up, we see that just a few days before when Jesus was in Jericho, there were two blind men. And in 20:30, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing Jesus was passing by, and they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The blind people saw that Jesus was the Messiah, the son of David. In verse 31, the crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. The blind saw. And the leaders, they were blind. Now, let's look and see what Jesus says to these children and about these children that we can apply to ourselves today. These children who were singing about Jesus, saying, "Hosanna, Lord, save us, O Messiah, Son of David." Basically, mimicking what their parents had said the day before. I love Jesus' words, what he says to the religious leaders. So here we are, Matthew 21:16. And he said to him, the Pharisees said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying, Jesus, about you?" And Jesus said to them, "Yeah, it's okay." Jesus is basically saying, "Yeah, they're right. They got it. You guys don't. They're right. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of David. It's true. I am Lord." Go with me again to that Matthew 22 passage. And this relates to those of you that get a chance to witness to Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons who doubt that Jesus is fully God. Because he is fully God. Matthew 22 again, verse 42. "Who do you think? What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said, "The Son of David." And so Jesus said to them, "Then how does David in the Spirit call him," the Messiah, "Lord?" And then he quotes from Psalm 110, that Yahweh said to my Adonai, "Sit at my right hand." You see, David recognized that the Messiah was the Lord God Almighty, that he was Adonai, and called him Lord. David called his own son Lord. And Jesus, he is no mere man. He is Lord. Now, back in Matthew 21, where we were, they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yeah, they're calling me Messiah, Lord." And then he says to them, "Have you never read?" And here he quotes from Psalm 8, "Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself." And that verse is talking about Adonai, Yahweh, God, who has prepared the mouth of children to praise himself. God has prepared the mouth of children to praise who? Himself. And Jesus says, God has prepared these mouths of these children to praise God. But who were they praising? Jesus. Jesus. He's our Adonai. He is the Lord God Almighty. And let's go to Psalm 8 to get the context. Psalm 8, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord," in Hebrew, "Ho Yahweh, our Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens? From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease." In the Greek translation of the Hebrew, I know I'm getting kind of technical here, but in the Greek, it actually translates the way Matthew translates Jesus' words as he spoke in Aramaic, and Matthew put it into Greek. You follow all that? I know it's all Greek to you. Okay. "From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established praise." That's how the Greek translation reads it, that's how Jesus quoted it, and Matthew put it in Greek. Basically, what it's saying is that God prepared the lips of children to give praise to Him. Children's lips are instruments of praise. And those children, on the day after the triumphal entry, Jesus recognized that God had created and made their lips to give praise to God for sending His Messiah, who was God Himself. You know, God took a donkey, Balaam's donkey, and He had that donkey speak human words. God made the angels to praise Him, to worship Him. And in the same way, God made children to praise Him from their lips. And so Jesus says to the chief priests and the scribes, "Oh, I hear what they say, and don't quiet them down, because God made them for this very purpose, to give Him praise." The day before, He had said, when the leaders wanted Him to quiet the crowds, He said that verse that Mike read for us, "Oh, if the crowds are quiet, well, the very stones will cry out." Our response today, that of the religious leaders to put Jesus off, or is our response today like those children who from their lips gave praise to God for sending the deliverer? And how did they know the words? Because they heard them the day before from their parents. For our children to give praise to God from their lips, they need to hear it from us. There's two responses that I see we ought to all have from these truths in this story to be like children. One is we simply humbly need to accept Jesus, to be humble, teachable. In Matthew 18, 3 and 4, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." We can't get to heaven on our own efforts. We have to humbly, like children, just by faith believe that Jesus is Lord and our deliverer from sin. Just humbly admit we're sinners and that Jesus, as the kid said, died on the cross to pay for our sin. So one response, like the children, is to humbly accept the good news that Jesus died for us. The other response is to let our lips do what they're made to do, give praise to God. I like the way it's written in Hebrews 13, 15. "Through God, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." This week, as our kids observe us, and they do, may they hear from our lips coming Hosanna. Oh God, save us. May they hear us praying to God to help us, to deliver us. And may this week, as we come to Good Friday, may they not only hear what we say, but see tears somehow welling up in our eyes as we remember Jesus and all the cost that he took for us. May they sense that this is important. And next Sunday, may they hear from our lips when someone comes up and says, "He is risen." May they see us going, "He is risen indeed," and we're saying it like we know it and we mean it. Because we learn from this passage that children are God's instruments of praise who echo their parents. Lord God, help us to be those kind of parents that our kids echo what we say about you. And right now, as we pray to you, we ask God that you would be our Lord and our deliverer. And for those of us here who might not have yet trusted in you, may we trust like a child that you died for us. Lord, help us to be your instruments of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.